Welcome to the OKC Community Podcast. We are so glad you're here. To get the latest updates or to watch this week's message, visit our website at okccommunitychurch.com.
All right. Well, it is great to be with you today. How's everybody doing? It is good to be with you. Well, hey, there's a little bit of a ring up here. I don't know if you can hear it back there. I can never tell if you can tell. But anyway, God has created this gift for us to worship, right? To use song, to use melody, to use rhythms, to use beats, to express ourselves. And how many of you guys were just, blown away by what we just got to experience? Like, God is using people to write things. It's so cool. Well, we are in week two of our series, Living in the Groove. Today is titled, Feel the Groove. And so today is all about, feeling what God is putting out there, feeling that vibe, if you will. In fact, just look at your neighbor right now and say, you just got to feel it. You just got to feel it. Today is all about the feels, if you will, of a life that connects with God through worship. And, have you ever heard the phrase, I'm sure you have, like a life of worship? And perhaps you want that. Perhaps you're like, I would love to experience God in worship in a deeper way or in a better way or whatever, however you might say it, and be a more worshipful person. And so on a day where we've experienced, this idea of people writing music to express how they feel, I thought we would take a little bit of time to talk about what it means to live a life of worship and to live in that groove. You remember last week we started with this backdrop that God is like this song, right? He's like this epic song that's been playing across the ages. He's like this eternal groove that we get to join in that song. And so today, we're going to take that thought a little deeper because I feel like this idea of feeling and what we feel in life has a lot to do with what God's trying to do in us and through us. And so to get into this, I want to have a little bit of fun. I told you last week we're going to have a little bit of fun in this series. So I'm going to need two volunteers today, two brave souls that will join me on stage. You can go ahead and start raising your hand if you're like, I think God is calling me right now to get up there. Yeah, and go ahead, raise your hand. I see a couple already. Keep them raised. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, because as I say it, there may be more hands raised. I need someone just to be a reader. If you like, I'm a good reader, I need you to read some scripture today. And the other person, I'm going to have you respond to those scriptures. But okay, I see one hand already. So Reuben, you go ahead and come up here. Reuben's going to be great. I need somebody else, though, that can just read scripture. Someone else that can read scripture. Kyle, you're the man. I saw your hand first. Get on up here. Hurry up, dude. Hurry up. Time is of the essence. God's calling you. Get stepping. Come on out here, Reuben. Come on out here. Reuben, why don't you take a seat right here in this stool right here? And I need a mic. I need a mic here. Yeah. You're right here, dude. Hey, stand right here in front of this mic. Don't move the mic. Actually, you can pull that up. You can adjust that. All right. So, I'm going to have Kyle read scripture. I'm going to have Reuben here. Give it up for these two, by the way. The rest of you who didn't raise your hand, you are cowards. These are the brave people. And I'm going to have you read, but for you to read scripture, and it's not on there.
Okay.
He's looking at this song. We just played that song. This is your paper. And I'm going to have you read this scripture, and then I'm going to have you read this scripture. I'll cue you. I'm leading you.
Okay.
All right? And I need a little music, so Robbie stayed up here, because if we're going to read scripture, we need some music, because remember, the backdrop is music. Worship today. Let's see what you got, Robbie. What you got? Come on. Tickle them ivories, brother. And what you're going to do, Kyle, is you're going to read. By the way, it's unplanned. Did you know I was going to invite you up here?
No.
Did you know I was going to invite you up here? Just wanted you to know this is a magic trick. We're going to see what happens. No, this is not. I'm going to have you read that first psalm.
Okay.
Actually, turn around. You can look at the screen. Because he's going to read it. And here's what you're going to do. The question is just going to be, how does this scripture make you feel? Because remember I said, today's called Feel the Groove. Right? Take it away, Kyle.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
That's good, Kyle. Thanks. All right, you can turn around. There is no right or wrong answer, all right? I just want you to answer, Reuben, like, how does that scripture, first reaction, how does it make you feel?
Well, I feel good.
You feel good?
I feel loved and I feel grateful.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that. Why do you think scripture does that for you? When you read a scripture like that, that's about praising God, why does that make you feel good, make you feel loved, make you feel grateful?
It gives me hope in a crazy, chaotic world, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the light in the darkness, you know?
Yeah. So there's 150 Psalms in the Bible. And Psalms are, of course, like songs, right? Like the Psalms are literally the Bible's songbook. And so that is like a song, what we just read, right? But there's all different types of songs. And so we're going to read a different psalm. It perhaps might elicit a different emotion, so just pay attention to that, all right? Are you ready?
Yeah.
I need some emotion, some conviction. Right. I'm just kidding. You're doing great.
I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed me for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?"
All right, Reuben, so let's talk about this one. How did that psalm make you feel?
It made me feel like dropping to my knees in sorrow, sadness, desperation.
Right. Interesting. So why do you think there are psalms? Why aren't all psalms like Psalm 100 in your opinion? Like, so Psalm 100 is this one that makes you feel good and it's about gratitude, and then all of a sudden you read a different psalm and it makes you feel different. Why do you think that is?
It's the choice of words capturing the feeling.
The feeling? What feeling? Feeling of who?
Well, how the psalmist feels.
Yeah, so how the psalmist feels, but you connect with it as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what you're saying is there's feeling in the psalm.
Absolutely.
Interesting. This guy can preach. Thanks, brother. Give it up for Reuben. Give it up for Kyle. Give it up for Robbie. So good, guys. All right, let's pray. Just kidding. We're going to go. No, I'm just kidding. I have more to say. Hey, so here's what's crazy, is the Psalms are this ancient version, right, of what we still do today. We write songs, poetry, we create screenplays, we create movies to express something, right, to express what we feel in life, our experiences, our hopes. And as we all know, expressing feeling is a powerful thing. Even as we just witnessed, like, just reading two different psalms, it bring out different feelings within us. And songs in our culture have a really unique ability to do that, don't they? I mean, even if it's like a fun experience or a fun emotion, you know, even if a song like Old Town Road with Billy Ray Cyrus rapping, it just does something to us emotionally, doesn't it? In fact, if you go home and you Google up like the top songs of all time, most official lists will have one particular song, and it's in nearly every top three. Anybody like to take a guess at what it is? It's not the Macarena. let's just play it. Can we play that song today? Go ahead. How many of you guys know this song? What's the name of this song? Imagine, right? You can just turn it down a little bit. I'll talk over it for just a second. John Lennon wrote this song in 1971. And here's the interesting thing about this song. He had tapped into a human emotion. This was a world that was on edge. It was written in 1971, just a few decades after World War II had ended, 20 years after the Korean War. The Vietnam War was going on. The Cold War has everybody on edge between the Soviet Union and the United States or the rest of the world. The world was crying out for peace. They were tired of division and war. And he writes this lyric, whether you agree with it or not, where he's imagining a world with no religion and no country. And it's this interesting song that I think resonated with humanity's cry at the time, which makes it not just about the melody, not just about the lyric, but about the emotion, right? About what they feel from this song. It still resonates today. Oh, you can fade that. You can fade that. The Psalms are very much like this. They were written by people in a world that were in this, they were between wars. They were desperate. They were crying out for God to help. But then there's also these spiritual markers in life where God showed up in this miraculous way, or they were building the temple and people started to sing songs about them. Now, this is not a series about the Psalms. However, if we're going to do a series called Living in the Groove where the backdrop is music and worship, you can't not spend some time on the book of songs in God's book. And so I wanted to take just a moment to give us a big picture perspective of what God did and what God does through the Psalms that we read in the Scriptures. I want you to consider the narrative themes, if you will, of what are the Psalms really about? I mean, if you ever wondered, like, what am I really reading? Are these just praises? Are these just prayers? Are these just songs? Because there is actually a thread. If you were going to read all 150 Psalms, you would start to see a consistent connection between the Psalms. And I just thought I'd give you really quick, I'd just get straight to the point, two huge narratives in the Psalm. So I have some slides for you. Two things that I want to just talk on real quick. First, we see the continued proclamation that God is king. And secondly, these writings are deeply human. These are the two themes that you would pull out of the Psalms. And why is this helpful? Because what's going on is these prayers, these songs are attached to stories and to human life. And this means this word is different. It's not a historical text. It's not a prophetic word. It's not even the account of something that's happened. It's the expression of people as they go throughout life. And this, in regard to this, makes this a unique book in the Bible. There's no other book like it. So I want just to consider both of these things. God is king, first of all. The proclamation is seen throughout the Psalms by this consistently lifting up of one God, that God created all, that God deserves all, and that God rules all. So he is king. How many of you guys like that? God created all, deserves all, rules all. He created all, everything, you, me, the world, the universe, God created all. He deserves all, which is a battle in life because we think we deserve it all. We think I deserve more. We think, what did I've earned this thing. And God, and then when we follow Jesus, when we start to build a relationship with God, we start to realize, oh, no, it's God that deserves all. And God rules all. It's his kingdom. It's our God reigns, right? And our God is powerful and cannot be defeated. And secondly, in addition to that declaration of the Psalms, we also see that they are deeply human. Everyone say deeply human. Deeply human. Yeah, the Psalms are full of human feelings, pain, struggle, desperation. The Psalms were stories and songs of poems written from people who were experiencing the disappointment or the struggles in life, even distance from God. That was what we just read in Psalm 77. There's Psalm 51, which you see a story of lament and regret and pain and anguish, or other psalms like Psalm 6, where it's God's hear me. I can go on and on about all the different types of songs, but it's not just about all the struggles and the feels of life. It's also about this expression, right, of gratitude and trust and worship that God is king, giving God the glory. So why am I telling you this? Because to try and describe our deeply human lives of pain, struggle, desperation, and then we also mix it with gratitude and trust, throw in joy, sadness, anxiety, courage. Doesn't that sound like a life of a lot of ups and downs? It's like, man, can I feel every emotion in one day of my life? It looks a little bit like this, like it's just this ups, life of ups and downs, right? Where it's like my life feels like sort of this two steps forward, two steps back sort of life. But I do want to throw something out. What if up and down isn't a bad thing? What if up and down isn't disappointing? What if the goal isn't always to be up? Maybe there's a reason every psalm isn't Psalm 100. Because I don't know about you, but the wobbly up and down life like this can sort of look like a song. Next slide. It kind of has this nature to it that's a bit like a song. Notes that go up and down on a page. Emotional peaks and valleys are what makes music in life. Meaning, what if God uses all the notes? So back to John Lennon. That's a line I never thought I'd say in a message. Back to John Lennon. What makes the Psalms different than John Lennon's song Imagine? Well, it's sort of obvious, right? Besides the epic piano melody, right? His song is a song that is deeply human, and that's it. Sure, he imagines something, but there's no promise in that song. The Psalms, though, they do something different. They are songs that are deeply human while also declaring a promise that God is king. And I just want to help you today. That's worship. That's worship. Worship isn't only about good and perfect and lifting it up. Worship has all the human emotion. Worship plays every note in the scale and recognizes God in every moment, up or down. He doesn't create the suffering, but he is the hope to the suffering. He's in the suffering with us. So imagine that song is a deeply human song that's powerful, but it lacks this proclamation and promise that God is king. And on the flip side of that, catch this. Doesn't it seem like there's something missing when someone only declares God is king but lacks humanity? Meaning, if the claim is made, God is king, yet an insensitivity or a dismissal is made of the human condition. For example, someone says, you know, I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you've been through. But you better get your life put back together because God is king. God deserves all. Or what about whenever we judge someone or someone judges someone for a decision they made? That sure, the decision may be questionable, but we don't take the time to hear where they're coming from, to understand their background, to understand how we could potentially help. When no grace is given, but instead we just keep giving the truth, something feels off about that, doesn't it? Like it's out of tune with the song. When humanness and empathy and love are dismissed, and yet we cling to a passionate plea that God is king, we can become dogmatic, religious, institutional, and stiff. Truth without grace is typically just mean. How many of you know that Jesus is not mean? Are you all with me today? I'm feeling I need a little more energy from my Mother's Day crowd. Are you all with me today? God is king because I'm teaching you today about the Bible. And I'm teaching you about this declaration that the Bible is not just a proclamation of truth, but it is an invitation to you as a human being to express everything you feel. God is king without the deeply human emotions to it. Well, that lacks grace, it lacks empathy, and it lacks love. But deeply human emotions without God is king and that truth, well, it lacks promise and it lacks hope. Perhaps this idea that God is only in the ups of life has messed up our understanding of him in some ways. Maybe this up and down nature to our emotions is something that God is saying, hey, I'm in that. This is not me being near or far from you. This is not you feeling off or on. Perhaps when we do that, we are skewing our ability to have a good, healthy theology about God and about ourselves. For example, can I give you something practical? I know finances are something that we all feel a little bit up and down about. Can I get a witness? Right? Just in the last few months personally, I've had, you know, those moments when I feel God's blessing, and then the next day I feel the messing of the enemy. Anybody get that blessed and messed kind of experience, right? For example, we get a check in the mail. Anybody get checks in the mail? An unexpected check in the mail from insurance or refund we did not expect. Can everybody say bless? That's a bless. The next week, we have an unexpected home repair. Everybody say mess. Then it's like we get a nice tax return. Cha-ching. Everyone say bless. The next day is like we got to put the car in the shop. Everyone say mess. Right? Like it is like this back and forth thing, right? And how many of you guys know that when the notes, when it, you know, we have the up and down nature, that those bottom ones, like they hit a little harder. Like that bass hits deep. You know what I mean? Now what happens is most of us attribute all of this to God. Do you think God's in all that? He's in all of it, but is he causing all of it? I don't know. I mean, it's like we imagine he's up there in heaven pulling the strings of our insurance companies and our home appliances. To be clear, God did not promise to be with your Whirlpool dishwasher. He did not promise to leave. He promised to be with you. He did not promise to leave or forsake your transmission. He promised to never leave or forsake you. Why am I saying that? Because God is not circumstantial. God is foundational. And that's actually really important in life. We have to stop imagining God as this puppet master to our circumstances in life. Paul said in Philippians 4:12, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And I love this verse because he is saying, listen, it doesn't matter if life is up or life is down. I have the secret. It is being with God. Many of us want to feel God in a deeper way. Many of us want to live a life of worship. Many of us want to feel more joy in our life. Many of us want to feel more contentment in our life. Many of us want to feel like we are walking with God and his presence through our life. And that is really, truly what this whole idea is about. We're using the metaphor of a song. We're using the metaphor of music to say there is a life that's possible, that we can live in the groove and follow in the ways of Jesus. I'm discovering, and I think many of us are discovering, that a life of worship is not walking around humming worship songs. It's not showing up every day with a big smile on our face saying, I am blessed and highly favored. You could say that, and it's a wonderful sentiment. But sometimes life is not all sunshine and lollipops, is it? Rather, it's a life that knows how to resolve. How to resolve. Everyone say resolve. Resolve. Just for fun, look at one neighbor and say re. Look at your other neighbor and say resolve. Do it again. Resolve. Resolve. There we go. That was fun. All right. Do you know what it means to resolve a song? It's the final note that brings the song to completion. It's the final resting note that the song sits in. The song may not be done, but it can rest in the resolve note. It's usually the first and the last note of the song. That preaches. And sometimes it's the note or the chord that can lead you to the next song. So it's either the first, the last, or the transition to the next chapter. Are you all following me? Maybe it's this. Maybe our faith needs to have some resolve in it. You know, I had Kyle read Psalm 77. Remember, we read this. I just want to read that part of the verse, the very end, verses 7 through 9. It says, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? I mean, no, this isn't a commonly read psalm because it isn't inspirational or motivating, but it's striking, isn't it? Because it's so real. The writer feels like God is not there, like he shut him out, like he doesn't care. And I actually love this psalm because it is deeply human. But I want to look at the next line that he writes. Verse 10. He says, then I thought, to this I will appear the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as God, as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. So what did the psalmist remember? He remembered who God is and what God does. But I want you to notice in verse 10, it starts with this amazing line. Then I thought. than I thought. If I was going to summarize the verses I just read, it was like, and then I thought, oh yeah, God is king. Everyone say, then I thought. See, the Psalms allow all of our deeply human experiences and emotions to resolve in one promise. Oh yeah, God is king. Then I thought, oh yeah, God's got this. Then I thought, oh yeah, God cares for me. And then I thought, oh yeah, God loves me. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Then I thought, God has a plan for me. He hasn't forgotten me. You see, a life of worship has to have a resolve. Because if you're going to live a life in which you are dictating your emotions by your ups and downs, and when you're down, you're off from God. When you are down, you feel far away from Him. You have to understand that God is in the down notes too. He's with you every step of the way. And there's a resolve in our faith that says, you know what? Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. God is king. Oh yeah. I was going to quit. Then I thought, oh yeah, oh yeah. God is with me. I was going to tell that person off, and then I remembered, oh yeah, oh yeah. Then I thought, God is love. I was going to go back to that old sin, but then I thought, oh yeah, God is my victory. I was going to compromise my beliefs. I was going to put God on the back burner for a while. I was going to base my happiness on how I compare to others. I was going to be jealous of that person. I was going to allow my circumstances to control my cadence. But then I thought, oh yeah, God is king. I'm guessing for some of you, the next note you need to play is then I thought. To feel the groove of God's presence in your life just can't be a cycle of deeply human conditions and circumstances and emotions. Most of us have felt controlled by those before because God created them and they are good. But however, there has to be a resolve with it. There has to be a place that we say, you know what, no matter what I'm going through, my faith is resolved in this. Now, there's a lot of competing resolve notes. There's the workspace one where I'm going to resolve everything in how hard I work, how hard I'm committed. There's the I'm going to be a good person resolve note. Maybe that'll do the trick. I'm going to manage my sin. Maybe that'll do the trick. Our faith must resolve in one thing alone. Jesus is my king. He created all, He deserves all, and He rules all. Maybe a perspective shift for you today. Instead of your life just feeling like a clunky graph, but God is with you in that song and wants to be the note that you resolve everything in at the end of every day. And if you're there, it's just like, oh yeah, I need that. I need a then I thought moment. I just want you to know that God sees you and He's here for you. And I would say this before, as we're about to pray, but I would imagine that there's a good group of us in here that would say, you know, I would not describe my life as a life of worship. But can I just say, well, what if it was? What if your life could find the groove of not only believing in God, but doing life with God, feeling God's presence with you through everything you do? I know some of you need that. Some of you actually today, I would say, probably resonate with even the thought of, I need to recommit to God today. I need to come back to Him today. I need to surrender to Him today. Some of you, it's like, I actually have been wondering, like, where is my life with God? And maybe it's for you, it's like, I need to actually find my groove with God. I need to get in step with Him. I've been living life my own way for a long time, but I need to surrender to God. And maybe that's where you're at. And I would just say today, if I say this one little statement, do you know that you know that you've given your life to Christ, that you are a follower of Jesus? Jesus said, come follow me. Have you done that in your life? When I ask that question, if you go, I don't know, I haven't figured that out, I just want you to know that God says, all are welcome in my kingdom, all are welcome in my family. Jesus says, I come and I knock on the door of every human soul. And for those who would open the door and let me in, I will come and I will dine with them. I will feast with them. They will join me in my kingdom. So there's an invitation to say, will you come follow me? Will you follow in my ways? Will you join my song? Because I will be with you. And so perhaps today you need a moment that says, then I thought, oh yeah, God is King. I want to lead us in a moment of prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I want to invite you to just make room in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Connect with Him. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Would you come today? We need you. With everybody's heads bowed, just consider these questions. What do you believe God's purpose is for having you here today? Do you resonate with the idea that God wants to be with you, to walk with you? And do you know that you have surrendered your life to God? And if you don't know that, the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus Himself said, there is no way to the Father except through me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says God's heart is for everyone, all people. But every person is given the choice to say yes to Him. So if you want to say yes to Him today, if you've lived with doubts or questions about God and you're just like, you know what, today I want to settle that in my heart. Perhaps today can be the day of your salvation. You know, the last several months we've had dozens and dozens of people that have been giving their life to Christ. God is moving in a powerful way in this church, and we invite you to join in what God's doing. So if you want to give your life to Christ today, I want to lead you in a prayer. And this prayer is just one of the ways in which you can respond to God and His movement in your life. But it's a way that a lot of people, including me, this is the way I first surrendered my life to God. It was in a service kind of like this, a pastor leading in a moment just like this, led me in a prayer, and I gave my life to Christ and changed me forever. And if you want to do that today, you can do that. Just pray this prayer. I'll lead you in it. Just repeat this with me. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just pray it wherever you're at. If you're ready to surrender your life to God, follow Him for the rest of your days. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. One more time. Jesus, I give you my life. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Just pray that. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. And I confess you are Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Just pray that. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you, God, for saving me. Just a really simple moment. Another moment of, if you will, courage and faith. You just took one step of faith by praying that prayer, but one more step of faith. Today, if you just prayed that prayer, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand wherever you're at real quick so I can see you? Just to say to the Lord, hey, I just prayed that. Thank you. I see you back there. Yeah, that's awesome. Several more popping up. Thank you so much, guys. Way to go. Father, I pray for every person that's just said that prayer for the first time, that, Lord, you would just seal this moment. Secure their salvation in this time, that they'll never doubt again, but that, Father, you've got them. You've had them. They've stepped into a life with you. So God, we just love you. We thank you. One more prayer for anybody in this room. But if you are here and you're like, I do need to recommit to Him. I do need to come back to God today. If you need to do that, perhaps you're in a place where you're saying, I want a life of worship, but I don't know how to get there. Maybe it's just you saying to Him, Jesus, I'm coming back to you. Forgive me. I repent. If you want to do that today, if you want to recommit, we don't do this a lot, but if you want to recommit, rededicate, whatever you want to call it, just say to Him right now, just pray this. Say, Jesus, I'm coming back to you today. Say it. Jesus, I'm coming back to you today. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I drifted. I'm sorry that I drifted. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And if you prayed either of those prayers, praise God. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. 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 Can you guys stand? And as you do, just celebrate the lives who just surrendered to Christ and just gave their life to Him. And here's the thing. We're going to create just a few minutes of worship, surrender, response to the Lord. I would invite you, please don't leave yet. It's going to be 4 or 5 minutes. Just stay where you're at. Even serve teams, stay where you're at. 5 minutes of just saying, Lord, we want to respond to you today. This altar will be open. Our prayer team will be here. And I have one word that I believe someone needs to come for prayer today. And the word the Lord pressed on me is just continuous. I believe that word is for anyone experiencing continuous pain in your body or a continuous condition of sickness that you need God to heal. I believe that word is for you today to come and receive healing prayer. Their team will be down here. This altar is open as a place of surrender, awe, worship of Him. Let's worship Him. Father, we love you. We want to be people who live a life of worship. God, thank you so much. You really are that good, and we give you praise today. We pray all these things in your name. And everybody said, amen. Can we just celebrate God today? He's so good. He's so good.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If there's anything we can pray with you about, or if you have questions about God, we'd love to talk with you. Please visit our contact page at okccommunitychurch.com.